Mercy and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson just read from St. Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. In India, the beggars sat at the temples, at the entrances to the train stations and by the tracks, and at the gates of the wealthy men and women of the town, and waited for them to be handed alms, food, clothing, in order that they might survive the day. Frequently you would find them at night rummaging through the trash piles that had gathered on the corners of each of the streets, where the households had dumped the food and the goods that they no longer needed from the day. There, these beggars could often find a pretty good meal. In America, the beggars sleep on park benches or in subway terminals. They stand on street corners holding up signs that say, "We'll work for food." They too wait for those who are wealthy to help them make it through the day. In our text today, the beggar's name is Lazarus. He sat at the unnamed rich man's gate, hoping for some simple table scraps to feed his hungry belly. This is such a powerful text in the gospel because it's so easy for us to see. It's not hard for us to imagine this scene because even in the wealthiest country in the world, poverty and scarcity and hardship are in abundance. In the text, Lazarus must have absolutely been revolting. The people didn't want to even come near him. His smelly rags, soiled from living in them without being able to be washed, ribs showing through his skin, and we are told that only the street dogs came to attend to his sores. He earnestly desired to eat even the smallest of table scraps that fell from this rich man's table, but he never received that pleasure. In India, it worked the same way. There were particular beggars that sat at particularly wealthy people's homes. They were fixtures there. The only time anyone noticed is when the beggar was finally gone. The rich man in our text, on the other hand, was a picture of perfection and wealth. The text says that he was clothed daily in purple robes and fine linen. Some people had such fine clothes, but they wouldn't wear them daily. For this man to be able to dress in such expensive clothing, he must have been one of the richest men in the town. But when that day finally came that both of them died, certainly the rich man was going to show his wealth even in his death. He would have been placed in the best coffin that money could buy. Because after all, the family wouldn't want anyone to think that he was a cheap man. Probably had the best vault that they sold too. The one with the concrete that was supposed to last for 500 years. And it was going to be airtight and everything. Then there would have been the parade through town. Headlights on and everything. Even in this day of sorrow at the rich man's passing, thousands of people would have turned out to see how the filthy rich are honored even in death. And then, as custom dictated, following the services, there would be a great feast in honor of the man who had died. Lazarus, on the other hand, didn't have a coffin. He was probably just left wrapped in his old dirty clothes and delivered by some untouchable to the catacombs, where another untouchable would take his body and place it next to all of the other beggars who had died without family or friends or money or possessions. No pomp, no parade, no feast. Isn't it kind of like that today? Funerals being as expensive as they are. Some families not even able to afford these simple things that we have seen in the text. But in God's kingdom, things are not as they seem. We are told that it is Lazarus that was carried to heaven by the angels, but the rich man was buried. Notice the stark difference there. The one with all the great wealth, the one with the pomp and circumstance on this earth, the one with the food and the clothing, He's not the one that the angels carried as a prized possession to the Heavenly Father. It's the stinky, smelly, sore-covered old man who was half-starved to death that the angels treat as a king and carry as a prized possession to the Heavenly Father. One believed the promises of God. The other did not. One worked for food that filled his belly. The other worked for eternal food that fed his soul. Then the text goes on to teach us something about heaven and hell and the great chasm that is fixed between the two. And unlike the recent movie, no one is able to cross over this chasm. From the fires of hell, the rich man was able to see up into heaven and see the beggar Lazarus standing at the side of Abraham. All of a sudden, this rich man who wasn't willing to give Lazarus a job or food or clothing or a roof over his head is now willing to let this poor man serve him, even if it is only a small drop of water from a cool glass. Even in the torment of hell, the rich man was still an arrogant fool. It still hadn't sunk in. It was too late. Once death has sunk its teeth into the flesh of an unbeliever, there is no mercy. There is no final chance. There is no drop of cool water. A great chasm has been fixed by God so that no one can cross over between heaven and hell. God's word is very clear here. Those who die in unbelief will not be saved. Since Lazarus can't come to me, thought the rich man, send him back to my father's house in order that he can tell my brothers. If they see the form of a beggar risen from the dead, then my brothers won't have to come to this place and suffer the torments of hell that I am now suffering. The rich man still didn't care about Lazarus. Lazarus' suffering was over. He was at peace and joy with Abraham at his side in heaven. And the rich man wants to send him back to earth as a beggar so that he can convince his brothers that they won't come to hell? You know what? Lazarus probably would have done it. But that's not how God works. If only the rich man would have listened to Moses and the prophets as Lazarus did when he was alive. If only the rich man would have realized how important his spiritual life was and how meaningless that life with all its possessions and goods really is. If only we could listen and hear only God's word over all those other voices in the world. If only we could accept the truths of Scripture even when they are difficult, rather than setting them aside for what sounds better to our ears. If only we cared as much about the spiritual condition of our brothers and sisters as we care about the score of the big game or the price of gas or that new gadget or of wheat or corn. But like the rich man, we are often too wrapped up in the things of this world to worry about the kingdom of God. We spend too much time working for food that perishes, and too little time partaking of the food that lasts to eternal life, the food that gives us life and salvation. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Did you hear that? Those aren't words of law. Those aren't command for you to do things. Those are words of gospel. In the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we find God's mercy. In holy absolution that you just received, you have seen a merciful God. For while we were yet sinners, Christ sought us out and died for us. It isn't our social status or our bank account that will determine our eternal dwelling, but our faith in Jesus Christ. Unbelievers will not be saved. But believers cannot be kept out of the kingdom of heaven. No cement vault will keep the devil from devouring an unbelieving soul in hell. No coffin will ever keep the flesh of us sinful mortals from decaying and returning to the dust of the earth. Yet where there is faith in Jesus Christ, created by the Holy Spirit, nothing in heaven or in earth can keep the angels of God from delivering your soul to your heavenly Father. As St. Paul says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. The rich man and his family weren't in the habit of going to the temple often to hear God's word and to worship. But once the rich man was in hell, he did want his brothers to witness a miracle so that they would listen to God's word and wouldn't have to join him in that place. But Abraham says to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. And yet, in an ironic way, the rich man's request was granted. It wasn't Lazarus, the beggar, who came back from the dead to convince his brothers, but there was someone else who rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death, to convince the world of righteousness, Jesus Christ. But no one can believe this apart from God's holy word, apart from the law and the prophets being spoken, apart from the apostles and the evangelists preaching of Jesus Christ. No one can believe this apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit creates faith through means. His means are his spoken word and simple water and bread and wine connected to that word. It is through those things and those things alone that God comes to his people and creates faith. One day you and I will be faced with death, just as Lazarus and the rich man were. But you do not need to worry about whether the angels will carry you into heaven or the demons will drag you down into hell, because in Jesus Christ, your place is already prepared. You do not need to worry, because in mercy, Jesus became poor that you would become very rich. In mercy, he took on your sinful nature, that one that wanted you to be vain and to glory in yourself, to be too busy for God's word, to neglect your neighbor's needs, and to doubt the promises of God. And he carried that nature and those sins to his cross, where they were crucified and put to death. Since, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Live now in this new life which is yours in Jesus Christ. And do not worry or be afraid of death, for its sting and power has been taken away. It has been conquered by Jesus Christ. Amen.